We continue our learning. Le'ilu nishvas David b'menach hamunish and cham Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We are in Masros Perek Dalid Mishnah Gimel. We continue our discussion of salting, whether that's koveil a maser or not. Hanotel zeistim in a matan, a person who takes olives out of the matan. A matan is either a pit in the ground where the olives are softening, or it's a container where the olives are softening. Says the Mishnah, tovel echad echad ba'melach va'ochel. He's allowed to dip one at a time in salt and eat it without separating matan. Why is this allowed? So it seems because I'm doing one at a time. If I would dip two or more, so that already would be mechayev you in masros, and that would be forbidden. Mefarshim raised the question, we learned in the beginning of the perek, that when it comes to dipping something in salt, that shouldn't be kovel a maser even if I have two or more. Dipping, by definition, is not considered that there's a gemar malacha, is not considered that that's real salting, so that's not pickling. So the Mefarshim explained that our Mishnah here is speaking about when there's a lot of salt. When there's a lot of salt, then even dipping could render it now a gemar malacha and chayiv in trumos u'masros, and only when you dip one at a time is it permitted, is it not mechayiv. The previous Mishnah was speaking about when there's a little bit of salt, then just dipping even two at a time is not mechayiv in masros. You can eat an achila sarai, even two or more. Mishnah continues in Malach v'nasan lefana of chayef. But if you salted one at a time, you didn't eat them one at a time, you placed them in front of you, now you have two or more sitting in front of you, then you chayef to separate masros. That's real salting. That's a gemar malacha, like cooking, a pickling, a Shabbos, etc. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he disagrees. Min ha-matan ha-tohor chayef. So we'll translate the words, and then we'll see how Rabbi Eliezer actually disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, if the matan, the container, has within it, the pit has within it, tohor olives, then you're chayv to separate masos. If it has tame olives, then I'm exempt from separating masos. Why? Because you're going to return the extra. What is happening here? So Eliezer is talking about a tame person. He's a tame person who took olives from a pit that have only tohor olives. What's going to happen if he takes them out? He's going to make them tame. So now, would a person who makes his olives tame, would he think about, if let's say with the olives he decided not to eat, would he think about returning them to the container? Obviously not, because he's then going to be metame all the other olives that are there. So now, such a person who is taking, that's what it means, minamatan hatohor, from a container, from a pit that has tohor olives, and he's a tame person, chayef. Then when he salts them, he's chayef to separate masos because the process is over. There's no way he's returning them. Once he salts them, it's a gemar malacha, he's chayef to separate masos. But min hatameh, but if let's say the olives in the pit that he's taking out to eat are tameh olives, you're allowed to eat tameh olives, or so. So such a person who takes them out is pater from separating masos. Why? Because this person who's, it doesn't matter if he's tamei ator, the bottom line is the olives are tamei. So is he going to be afraid afraid that if he has extra olives, he's going to put them back into the matan, to the container? Right? Sure, we have to be afraid of that, because he loses nothing by doing so. They were already tamei. So makes no difference if he's tamei or he's not tamei. He's not going to be the tamei anything. So now that we're afraid he may return them, so salting them now is not a gemar malacha, because if there are extra ones, he may return them. And that's what the Mishnah means. Mineshu machzir asamosar. He returns the extra, and that's why there's no gemar malacha on the olives he's salting now. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Tanakama, who said, doesn't make this distinction. Tanakama, who basically says that if you have, if you're dipping one at a time, you're putter, and if you have a lot, you're chayiv, and they make no distinction whether the what types of olives, whether the tamei ator that are sitting in the matan. Now, the Mefarshim explained that the Tanakama, it's not like they disagree with the principle set up by Rabbi Eliezer. After all, in the third parak, we spoke about caravs. We spoke about the buktzer, the charuvim. And there the Mishnah spoke about if I have the carobs and they're sitting drying out in the field and I bring some in to feed my animal into the chatzer, so they're not processed yet. So although they're brought into the chatzer, it doesn't matter because they're not completely processed and I'm only feeding them to my animals. So the Mishnah says there that there's no chiyuv of ma'asros. Now, why not? After all, the ones I'm feeding to my animal have a gemar malacha. They're not, I'm finished with those. So the answer is because I may, the owner may have the kavana to return any extra charuvim back to the field. And therefore, the ones you took out to bring to the chatzer are secondary to the ones that are, to the majority that are drying. And since you may return them, the fact that you brought them into your chatzer makes no difference. Ah, so why would the Tana Kama disagree with Rabbi Eliezer's principle here? So the Mefarshim explained, because the Tana Kama here, there's an extra thing that's happening. There, you brought them into the chatzer, that's true. But here, I'm salting them. When I salt them, it's pretty clear I'm planning on eating them and not returning them. So the extra action of salting makes all the difference, where the Tana Kama here would agree, would say that not once you salt it, makes no difference that everything's tameh and you may return it. Once you salt it, that's the Gemar Malacha. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Shosim Alagas, Bein alachamin, bein alatzonein, pater divi Rabbi Meir. Here we're speaking about a wine person, speaking about wine, and we've mentioned in the past that wine doesn't have its gemar malacha until it flows into the boar, into the cistern that's right in front of the wine press, and you remove the sediment. So here we're talking about a person who's in the area of the wine press, and he's diluting his wine. Now, we've mentioned that diluting the wine is considered almost formal eating. That's considered now an achilas keva. So that should be a problem, maybe, of drinking the wine once it's diluted as an achilas aroi. So, because it's not an achilas aroi anymore. Says Rabbi Meir, not to worry. Even though you diluted the wine, and that seems to indicate a formal type of drinking, nonetheless, since I'm drinking it in the area over the wine press and I haven't taken it out, that's considered an achilas aroi, and it's not a problem even though I diluted it. Now, if I would take the wine outside the area over the wine press, so then you're not allowed to drink it unless you separate masos. That is Rabbi Meir's halacha. Now, it's true technically that the wine is permitted as long as you don't remove it from the area, but the Rabbanan were machmir and said that you're not allowed to drink the wine unless your head and most of your body, we may remember that from Hilchos Sukkah, is actually sitting and positioned over the wine press. We're afraid you may take the wine out. The same thing, you made out outside the sukkah. So the same thing is true, that it's true only when you completely remove it, midoraisa, would it become the chachamim want you to have your head and most of your body in that area, in order to drink it when it's diluted. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Mechayev. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok disagrees. Now, why does he disagree? So, some Mefarshim say, I'll tell you why. Because once it's diluted, that's formal drinking, that's an achilas keva, and you have to separate masos. And others say it's not about that. He agrees that when you drink wine in such a way where you are still in the wine press, the fact that I diluted it shouldn't matter. But he's afraid that even when you're in the wine press area and you have most of your body there as well, we're afraid you may take the cup outside. And once you do that, now you're in big trouble. So that's what Eliezer says. Now, even when you're in the wine press, once it's diluted, you have to separate trumos and masros. V'chachomim omrim alachamin chayav v'atzonin potter. Here you have a middle opinion of the chachamim. It depends on what kind of water you used. Were you using hot water to dilute it? Now you have to separate masros. But if it's cold water, you're potter. What's the difference? So the chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir, basically, fundamentally, that if you drink even diluted wine right over the wine press, that should be considered snacking. But that's because he could really drink a small amount and pour the rest back in. This reminds us of the olives. If I drink a part of the wine and I return the rest of it to the wine press, so that's automatically achilas aroi. Just like when it came to the olives. So that would be allowed. But that only is true when it comes to cold water. No one would pour wine that was mixed with hot water back into the wine press. It's going to spoil the rest of the wine. And that explains the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Alachamin, if you diluted it with hot water, I know you're not going to pour it back, so now you have to separate Maasos. But if it's sown in its cold water, and the potential is that you may pour it back into the wine press, so then you're putta because you don't have a Gemar Malacha.